friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take Command is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command.
The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders!
With former NFL tight end, Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Take Command, coming your way alongside Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. Thank you for finding us. Subscribe, rate, review, do all that podcasty stuff. Help us to continue to grow this show. And thank you for checking us out, watching us, listening, however you're doing it. Logan, we got a lot of ground to cover today. We're going to project a 53-man roster and look at some of the really intriguing battles back end of the roster. But we've got to start with the big breaking news of Monday in the Commanders front office, where they got a deal struck with Terry McLaurin. The saga is over, and the most important player on Washington's offense has agreed to terms. He will be on the field against the Giants.
Yeah, I don't know if you can say that anymore, though, right? Like, the now that Jaden Daniels is here and Laremy Tunsil, all these guys, and, you know, he's a piece of the system. And again, but also obviously very, very important. Ecstatic to have Terry back. And, you know, like, it was funny. I was doing something. I was making a cut up today of Terry's like explosive plays from last year for the show, for the Command Center show. And I just was like, man, he does so much for the offense in terms of creating vertical stretch in the defense. So like, get that piece back. That's going to create a little bit more space for Zach Ertz to operate underneath, more space for Debo Samuel. The idea that Noah Brown is getting healthy heading into the season. Like, it's just kind of all coming together in this like perfect way heading into 2025, which is a relief, quite honestly, because, like, you know, we talked about, there were some days at training camp where, you know, the playmaking from the receiver position wasn't there. And I think Noah Brown's health and Terry signing obviously helps to resolve a lot of that.
Yeah, they just needed him. I mean, bottom line, you're right. He's not maybe the most important place. I always separate Jaden Daniels, I think, in this era, quarterback.
You kind of got to now,
yeah,
right?
Like, exact. Quarterbacks in this era are their own entity, even if you have a jag, frankly. But in this case, when you have an elite difference maker who's a top five guy in the league, maybe, and a perennial all-pro type who might be an MVP candidate this year, clearly Daniels is the bell cow. But yeah, I would take McLaurin maybe even over Tunsil. You know, they got by and won 12 games last year with Brandon Coleman at left tackle in terms of import, just because of what he can provide and the difference. You're talking about the cut-ups. You know, look at some of the numbers last year. I put together a list of their biggest plays, and the top five, all even more deeper than that, but were the longest plays from scrimmage last year, were all catches by Terry McLaurin. This is a guy since 2020, 17 drops on 633 targets, a 2.7% drop rate. Only DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, lower drop rates among receivers with 350 targets than Terry McLaurin. You know what you're getting. He's a steady customer, and if the ball's near him with his catch radius, doesn't matter if it's contested or not, he's coming down with it.
Yeah, the one thing there that I'd like to just kind of double click on is honestly like his ability to push the field vertically. Like, you know, I've talked to other people around the league, and I think they kind of they have this vision of Terry as this contested catch guy. But really, I mean, last year specifically, he's become kind of a deep play merchant in a way that is akin to, he's not the same player, but akin to kind of a Tyreek Hill, this guy that really affects you vertically down the field. And when I was watching these vertical stems, obviously there's like 7 or 8 really explosive plays above 50 yards that he's able to cultivate. One's on a little RPO, a couple vertical down the field. But his ability to work that vertical kind of stem and indicator game. So what I mean by that is there's the great play end of half, 10 seconds left on the clock against the New York Giants where he runs a fade, but he really works hard, gets up on Banks' toes, kind of sells the post with a little bit of a head fake. Banks opened his hips the wrong way, and he's able to catch that ball going down. There's another one where he's able to kind of work a release at the line of scrimmage, push vertical. He's always pretty good about holding the space from the sideline. So just how kind of crafty and masterful that was to watch, I thought was really interesting because I've said this before. I think Terry's a really good player. I think I've always been on the fence about his route running nuance, but to watch those back to back to back to back, just like this is such a valuable weapon for this offense. And again, like some of the stuff that Cliff does in terms of pre-snap side adjusts away from 3x1, it is perfect for Terry McLaurin. So I just think he's got a really nice niche in this offense. He's got kind of a superpower in terms of attacking the ball downfield. And as you know, Grant, like those explosive plays, they lead to points. And when you look at those metrics, it's like if you have a play above 25 yards on a drive, it's 55% chance you're going to score a touchdown. Like those plays are impactful for sure.
Yeah, the lens with which I view the league now, Logan, and we've talked about this a lot over the years, but it's just a chunk yardage league. And there's 5 or 6 plays in every single game that kind of make the difference. And there have always been stats that are viewed as predictors, and some of them are still the same. Like turnovers are always going to matter. But explosives, right? And just the ability to put defenses in a bind by picking up half of a football field at a time, or 40 plus yards with some of the stuff he can provide. If you don't have a guy in your offense that can do that, if you don't have someone that can strike up the band, you really are starting at a disadvantage. I look at some of the numbers from last year. Number one in the NFL with 24 contested catches, which he's led over the last 3 years. He had 10 touchdowns against single coverage. For a guy that people say, and you're right, like doesn't route people up necessarily or whatever, he beats single coverage because of his ability to make the contested catch as well as anybody. And I think what you just pointed out is a big reason why going down the field, at the stem. And then, rating throwing to him last year, 135.3 was number one in the NFL. He and Jaden Daniels combined were the number 3 EPA per play for receiver quarterback tandems. When you have a rookie quarterback, like to provide him with Jaden Daniels is an absolute gift. This is an asset. He's going to make you right. And going into year two, it was obvious they needed to give McLaurin to Daniels again, and they've wrapped him up and put him under the tree and delivered the goods here as we get ready for the start of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to your explosive play point, one of the things that I remember vividly is looking at the Cincinnati Bengals offense when Joe Burrow got there, and I think they were 29th, 30th in the NFL. They draft Ja'Marr Chase the next year, and the only discernible metric difference in the offense was the explosive play rate, and it went from 28th or 30th to 2nd or 3rd in the NFL, and they became the 2nd or 3rd best offense in the NFL, like in an offseason. And again, you talk about the potency of these explosive plays, the chemistry of the two players working together. And again, that's something that's really underrated. Terry does a great job, but some of these throws, it was really just a reminder of how good and efficient Jaden Daniels is at throwing this deep ball, his feel, his timing.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
His accuracy is really tremendous. And people say, deep balls are not a transferable skill. It's really hard to teach a quarterback how to do it. He's got a great feel for getting the right kind of ball loft, ball trajectory, this really high arc, and letting the receiver adjust to it subtly, and still has been very accurate. So in terms of metrics that I thought would regress, I thought that one would be one that would regress because, again, that's so hard to throw that ball so accurately. It's so hard to win that coverage. But after watching that cut-up, I'm like, if they're going to provide this coverage to Terry, this single coverage, he's going to find a way to beat it. And Cliff does such a good job of spacing the field to force that one-on-one matchup. Like, think about it. I'm sure you can visualize it if you're a Commanders fan. We've got back offset left. Terry's out wide to the left. We've got three receivers to the right. You have to. A lot of modern defenses will rotate coverage to the three receiver side. You're ensuring that one-on-one matchup, they'll lock that backside. And if they get any type of press or that guy's within 5 yards, Jayden Daniels just throwing that going ball. And Terry, over the course of last season, did such a great job of maximizing it.
On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on all your football season predictions. So take a flyer on the MVP race. Jayden Daniels is 10-1. Crown your champion in August, the Commanders, 19-1 odds. Or parlay your division winner dark horses like Washington together. Mark your calendars. This is your day for your hunches and hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now. Because Futures Day is one day, and one day only. FanDuel, play your game.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, big news from the Commanders. Terry McLaurin, who over the last six football seasons is tied for the NFL lead in 1,000-yard campaigns with Hall of Famers-to-be Davante Adams, Mike Evans, and Justin Jefferson, is going to be on the field for the Commanders against the Giants to start the year. We'll wait and see all the details of the contract, but I think fans care the most about the fact that it's over and it's done. And who, you know, they don't care about the numbers and who was right and who was wrong and a meeting in the middle. I mean, he got a deal done, and now he's going to be at practice this week. That is what they care about. How about the timing of he and Jayden Daniels now trying to get on the same page over 13 days? Because I find myself, Logan, thinking about the fact that they were so good together last year, especially on some of the timing stuff you're talking about vertically down the field. Some of those throws against the Bengals as an example. Like, that's only possible.
Really tremendous, yeah.
I mean, it's so like bang, bang, back of the end zone, or like the deep shot down the field, if you remember, to set him up for, I want to say, Daniel's first touchdown pass ever to Trent Scott, which is a great trivia question answer. But like, people say, oh, well, you know, Daniels didn't even throw a pass in the preseason, or Ertz didn't play in any of those games. But to me, it's about the hours and hours on the grass, the hundreds of reps, the, you know, probably 50, 60 balls that Deebo Samuel got thrown that, you know, Terry McLaurin didn't. You could say it's a blessing in disguise, right? Because Deebo got more work maybe and they got on the same page. But how do they make up for that now in 13 days? And do you think that we'll be able to notice anything that looks different early this season? Because if not, then it kind of feels like you know, maybe that all the practice time and camp and mini camp isn't as important as it's made out to be.
I mean, obviously it's important to the extent that it's important, and some guys need it less than others. I think back to my time in Atlanta with Julio and Matt Ryan, and Julio, when he would practice like an absolute maniac, but he didn't practice every day because he was later in his career kind of nursing some stuff. But him and Matt Ryan always seemed to have the connection. And I think when you look at Jayden and you look at Terry, like, their professionalism is something that gives me such extreme confidence that they'll be able to kind of get right back in the swing of things. And I think it's also great that they have 13 days to work on it. They'll be able to stay after practice, throw the football around a little bit, talk about how they're seeing coverages. Like, I really thought this thing was going to go to the 12th hour and they'd be signing the contract the night before the game, night before the season opener against the Giants. And so for me, I'm like, we're on borrowed time now. And I've seen people, receivers and quarterbacks, develop a certain level of chemistry, especially people that are experienced like Terry. And I'm going to put Jayden in this bucket too because of, again, his level of professionalism and how he studies stuff. So I do think it's something that, again, will it be an issue? Maybe slightly, but I do trust these guys to figure it out very quickly. And I think Cliff's going to play a huge role in that too, of just kind of expediting that communication. Hey, maybe Terry's not in on every single play. Maybe he's in these packages of plays so we can focus on making sure our timing is really good in these moments also.
So I want to go back to the Cliff part of it, but as I'm still thinking about that Bengals play, just as an example, I looked up the number. So I remember that this is the throw of the year as far as I'm concerned.
This is tremendous.
The week three coming out party, McLaurin is streaking down the right side of the field, actually asked to kind of be moved right before the play from what Cliff said, and then Daniels gets hit in the face mask. That was the moment, by the way, when I thought, this dude is a real one. Yeah. Like, that's when I knew, okay, I don't need to see anything else, kind of. But that play,
well, and everybody else, right? I mean, that was the I mean, that was such a play, right?
Dude, like, it was crazy. But that play, Logie, had a 10.3% chance, like improbable touchdown. It was the most improbable pitch and catch in the NFL in the next gen stats era dating back to 2016 for a touchdown. And I bring that up not to nerd out as much as just to say, like, the inches that you need that make all the difference there. I mean, you try that play 50 times. It's like hitting a half court shot or something, but it's only made possible by two guys that were exactly on the same page. And maybe they're just so special that they could walk out on the field and do it again right now. But like, you got 13 days now to get there. It's like the rocket is taking off. The countdown clock is, you know, it feels like a scene from like Armageddon where it's like, we have 9 days. You know, the guy runs into the room with all the papers. One of my favorite movies ever. But they got 13 days to get to a point where it's 3rd and 13 and the game's on the line and Jaden can drop back and find Terry in the back of the end zone for a 9% probability catch to win the game.
Yeah, and I know we're gushing about this play from Cincinnati, but I went back and watched that today and I was literally floor on the ground because when you go through it, you're just like, how did this ball get completed? Because Terry's actually running a hitch and go. And Jaden throws that ball before Terry even finishes the hitch part of the route. So he knew the area of the field to throw the football. He knew Terry could get there. He beat the blitz. It's an all-out. I mean, like when you stack it up and you just watch it, it's such a unique play to watch. It's so rare. And I've watched a lot of football. I've played a lot of football. I have never seen a throw quite like that. Speaking to your point, we got to figure out what the play was in 2016 that trumped it. But it was just the timing, the anticipation by Jaden. And again, when you watch the go balls, I know Terry gets a lot of credit for it, but Jaden has such a good feel for throwing that ball. And he's got a guy at the other end that can maximize it for him now, which is something really exciting. And like you said, hopefully they can get that chemistry thing worked out before week one.
All right, so put the OC hat on for me for a second here. So I want to go back to the Cliff part of this. How does he factor into possibly helping them get off to a fast start? It sounds like maybe you think you could put him on some type of pitch count where you say, hey, we're going to give you these looks. Let's get these mastered. We'll add to this next week and in the weeks to come. Do you think that is kind of viable, or do you think they just throw him out there as they normally would because he's got 2 weeks and he'll be ready?
This is always a fun game because I fancy myself a pretty smart football player, but Cliff Kingsbury has forgotten more football than I will ever know, right? So rudimentary Neanderthal Logan Paulson, my first inclination is to say, hey, let's get him a package. We want him on these looks. We want him in these plays. That way Jaden Daniels and I, we can work the chemistry here. We can talk specifically these looks. And then we can also monitor his conditioning. I'm sure Terry's in great shape, but there's something different about putting the pads on and running around coming from a guy who did it for 10 years, right? Like as good a shape as you think you're in, it's always a little bit different when the pads are on. So we can kind of get him on a pitch count. We can be more selective about his opportunities. And again, one of his superpowers is creating vertical space. So even just having him out there creates a certain amount of gravity. And gravity is maybe the wrong word because gravity attracts stuff. It really is like he stretches coverages like you'd stretch a rubber band, right? And so having that vertical speed and this guy that can hurt you down the field creates tremendous throwing windows. Like you watch when he's out there versus Pittsburgh versus Philadelphia in the Giants game, for example, you're able to hit these high crosses, these high corners, these outs right behind him. And Zach Ertz, Zacchaeus, Crowder were the beneficiaries of a lot of that. But I think that's something that is transferable even if he's not getting the football.
Did they have anybody who could have done that if he wasn't out there? Obviously not in the same way, but is part of it that's Terry McLaurin back of the football card, like a reverence for him? Or is it that he's doing it better than, I'm just saying, Jalen Lane or whoever might be running that love of the game route or whatever it is?
Well, I think it's more about the vertical speed he possesses.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one thing, like you look at the Miami Dolphins just as a point of comparison. They went out, they drafted all these fast guys. And when you watch their film with Waddle and Hill, the field feels so much bigger. The defense has to cover so much grass. And so as you expand vertically into the defense, the zones that guys have to match and master are now stretched. And so instead of having to cover 5 yards or 10 yards in terms of circumference, now it's 12 yards. And that extra 2 yards really makes it easier for a guy like Jaden Daniels to find those windows. So I think that's something that if I'm Cliff, maybe the timing's not exactly where I want it, but for week one, maybe it's, hey, this is the Debo, Zach Ertz, Jalen Lane underneath type of game. And then as he kind of gets his sea legs, we get more into saying, hey, now we can kind of maximize these opportunities, again, in these packages that we just discussed.
Outside of the obvious, which is Jaden Daniels, the biggest beneficiary of McLaurin providing that vertical threat is who?
I think probably Zach. And the only reason I say that is because Zach in training camp, he's an older guy now, but his ability to win versus man coverage, find the soft spot in zones, he's the guy that's going to be able to take, in my opinion, the most direct advantage of those that widened space. I think Debo will benefit, obviously, but Zach, again, watching his utilization in training camp, thinking about how they utilize him, especially the second half of last year, when he goes 24-24 in critical down and distances, red zone, like he was outstanding. Like that's the guy, right? If I can stretch you vertically, he's the guy that can manipulate you underneath and find those matchups you want. So I'm heavy in on Zach Ertz this year anyway, but I think this is just adds another element to what he can do.
All right, do you have a hat rack? I want you to put your OC hat on the hat rack. So Logan Kingsbury's done working for right now. Pick up the GM hat. Logan Peters is going to join us next. Burning roster questions on offense. We'll get to the defense eventually here on Take Command as well. We're going to go through some of the most interesting decisions to be made as Washington whittles down its roster to 53. We'll do that next on Take Command.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.